Brando and I now have Tony Lowes. Hello, Tony. How are you?
Good morning. Very well. How are things up there?
Okay, well, tell us how this all came about to do with our drinking water and who you represent.
Well, it came about more than 10 years ago when a database expert bought himself a holiday retreat in County Mayo and found that his water was so appalling that he didn't think he was going to be able to live there any longer. And being a scientific-minded person, he began to look into it, and he found that the microbiological parameters were being exceeded. That's E. coli bugs in the water, mm-hmm. basically. And using his skills to analyze databases, he presented the position to the European Commission, and they brought proceedings against Ireland. And Ireland's response in 2000 or 2002 was to institute a widespread program of chlorination of our water, because chlorine is cheap and it's effective for dealing with those kind of bugs. Mm-hmm. But it isn't actually an answer for either Cryptosporidium, which people know about now as a parasite that virtually destroyed Galway's tourist season for 1 year, or for the chemical exceedances, because what happens when chlorine reaches a water treatment plant and mixes with water that has dissolved organic carbon in it, that's, you know, discolored water, peaky-colored mm-hmm. water, for example, those two things together produce disinfectant byproducts called trihalomethanes, THMs. And these are about 55 chemicals, some of which are carcinogenic, some of which you would know. Chloroform, for example, is one. And these things are produced during the disinfecting process, and they go down the pipes and they go into your water. Now, at the time that we began to work with Malcolm Coxall, the database expert, we looked at the EPA's water report, and it said that they were 99.2% compliant with the chemical standards. But when we actually took apart their databases and did it all thoroughly, we found that there were 630,000 consumers consuming water over the recommended limit for these disinfectant byproducts.
Okay, and is it different areas of the country, Tony?
Particularly in rural areas. That's one of the reasons that you get that 99.2% mm-hmm. compliance, because you do that by taking the samples. And obviously Dublin water, which is heavily treated and treated for everything, you know, you can think of, is sampled many times a day, whereas maybe a rural supply in a place like Skull in West Cork mm-hmm. might only be sampled once a year or even less, so that they could get a very high compliance result by going by the sampling numbers rather than by the individuals provided. But they're down the West Coast. They're particularly in some of the rural areas, Connemara, West Cork, Kerry. Donegal has some very bad examples. Now, things are improving, and things have improved since those 630,000 people were being affected. Only last week, a new plant opened in County Kerry mm-hmm. that puts more than 60,000 consumers are now receiving water that's being treated to the highest possible standards. It's being properly filtered. There's no cryptosporidium through a UV process. And that is, in the long run, the way things are going. But our complaint had more than just one limb to it, that of this poor quality. It was also that the consumers were not being notified, so that you weren't being told. If there were a lot of bugs in your water, you get a boil water notice.
Okay.
But if there's a lot of chemicals in your water, you aren't told. And this seemed to us completely wrong. But the time it took to get this across has been absolutely extraordinary. Our complaint went to the commission in 2011. It was addressed by them in 2013. They tried to close the complaint then in 2014. We appealed the closure in 2015. They reopened the case again. And finally, last July, they began proceedings against Ireland for, first, not making quick enough progress on fixing the plants, and second, for not notifying consumers, because THMs are very volatile. You can mm-hmm. imagine chloroform, they just go up in the air, mm-hmm. and they particularly go up in the air when you turn on a tap in a steamy kitchen, or when you're in a sauna, or when you're in a steam room, for instance. But even showering, prolonged showering, some countries recommend that pregnant women don't shower, because that's another way that these THMs can get into the body besides inhaling them. So, you know, ironically, a 70-euro charcoal filter will take it out of your house system.
Wow.
But you don't know that unless somebody tells you this is what you've got, right?
And it's taken seven years. I know the Irish were renowned for being slow to do things, but this is ridiculous when it comes to public health.
Well, and what it is they get every time we have a complaint and we try and work with the commission on these kind of things, the Irish put up such a protest. They're over there. They have guys in Brussels. They have some of their really best people over there arguing their case and promising this and promising that. And they know it'll go around again. And then they don't do anything at all, even though they can see it coming down the line, until the infringement proceedings are actually published. You know.
Okay.
So it's a case of defending, you know, putting on the green jersey when we go to Brussels, and that's what's going on over there. And it makes it really hard to get even basic things like this across.
And especially if you don't react to it and act on the information that you've been given. But we had scares before. I mean, out in this side of the city, the north side in Fingal area, we had problems with lead in the water, and that sort of surfaced its head for a few months, and then it just seemingly went away. So is the same thing going to happen here? That, okay, it's recognised now, but will it be forgotten about and nothing will be done?
No, I think that they are actually addressing it, because it is a very worrying prospect. There is very definite evidence associating these high levels of THMs with cancer in the long term, of course. And this is another of the problems with some of these issues, like the one you've raised there. That the results are not immediate. If you get a bug, you're going to be sick, and you get sick enough, and you're going to go to the hospital, and it's going to get recorded, and it's going to be addressed. You know, they're going to find out where it came from, and they're going to fix it. But if it's a very slow matter of accumulation of something like trihalomethane over the years, it's exceedingly difficult to point the finger. So the immediate response of the Health and Safety Authority and the Environmental Protection Agency in 2012, when there was quite a row about this in Wicklow, was that there was no immediate threat to health. Now, there's your key word, immediate threat to health. You probably know of cases where there have been problematical factories or waste dumps that may or may not have caused these intense areas of cancer, where a lot of people seem to have cancer. It's very, very difficult to make those kind of conclusions and connections.
But the same thing, Tony, not applying, I mean, you say it's maybe not as quite as serious, but could be, depending on the way things evolve, that the chemicals that go into the water, the plastics that's going around the water, for instance, like all the stuff we use, like washing up liquids and all sorts of stuff we use around the house that goes into our water system. I don't know what way it's recycled. Do we use the same water over again? This type of thing, will we have to wait for something maybe to show in that respect? Is that another danger coming down the line?
I think it is. I think we're going to have to rethink our attitude towards water, because it's becoming an increasingly difficult problem. I know there's a study just come out, for example, that has said that this idea that an early spring is making for greater productivity in the farming world has turned out not to be true. It's actually decreasing productivity, because that early spring, those plants are sucking up all the water, and there isn't enough water left as the year goes on, and the plants don't produce as well. We're finding water stress is everywhere. And I think we have to really rethink our attitude towards water and to recycling it. There are actually cities like Singapore where they recycle their water, their wastewater, into drinking water. And it can be done. There's no technical problems with doing it. Obviously, there's a bit of public resistance to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the kind of thing that, you know, that we're going to have to come to. We didn't realize, we didn't know the damage we were doing with all of these things. I don't think people deliberately set out to snare a sea turtle in a plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't make that connection between chucking the plastic bag away and the ocean and the animals that are in it. And until we're making those connections, then, you know, we're not going to get people to really address address these kind of issues.
Mm, and it's reflecting itself back in our household water in some degree as well, and in God knows what way it does, but as well as the chemicals that's going in. What's the next step, Tony? What's happening now? Just close monitoring and everything that goes on?
Yeah, and I think the first thing is that the Irish Water will be writing out to people who have got this exceedances in their water. Now, they give a figure of, I think, something like 160,000 customers. Well, unfortunately, that's, you know, again, one of these spins, because what you want to know is the number of consumers. And we put the number of consumers at about 320,000. Obviously, you know, some houses would have more than one consumer, so you write to them on the billing address how many people are consuming that water. So there's quite a lot of people who are in that. And I think it will bring, you know, help to bring an awareness to the importance of water to us and the potential that's there. I think this is one of the things that people miss, is that with the Green Revolution, there's all kinds of possibilities. One of them is using solar power, particularly here in Ireland, which has really fallen really dramatically, the price of it, in the last 10 years. So that, say, Dublin needs more drinking water, which we know it does. Well, the proposal at the moment is to pipe the water from the Shannon across the countryside with all that that entails. But if you looked again at a desalination plant, you would find, I think, that the desalination plant was very competitive compared to what it was 10 years ago, because the price of these solar panels and solar energy has fallen so far. So we can utilize the advantages that are going on out there and make them to make our lives better. But we can't do it unless we have a leadership that's willing to look at it.
Mm-hmm. And not take so long to do things about it either, I suppose, as well. Okay. Nothing in the budget to say about any of this at all. Allocation of money, they haven't done anything at all. Okay, listen, Tony, thank you very much for bringing this to our attention. And I suppose people should sit back and reflect on everything they do with their environment, as well as in the house and outside the house, plastic and all that, and even with the chemicals that they use in the house. But thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Not at all.
Thank you.
I'm very, very glad we had a chance to talk. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's Tony Lowe's there. And, yeah, it's time to reflect on everything to do with the water you drink.